This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
One more real quick. Paul, Wildcard 2, come on the line from Yuba City, California, and talk to us for just a minute, because that's about all we have.
Thanks for having me on. The way I look at this is that basically, as the president, we have a hybrid. We have somebody who grew up with Frank Marshall Davis, who's a communist, and also with the anti-colonial edge, which is directly linked back to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is directly linked back to the Nazis. And what we have is somebody who's a national socialist. And you can see how he drives his agenda. Also, as the president, he has been linked directly to the Muslim Brotherhood. And, you know, if you take a look at Benghazi, which is now turning out to be nothing more than Fast and Furious on steroids over in Europe, you know, you've got a president here who's got a clear agenda. His behavior patterns, all the things that have been going on with all the school shootings, all that stuff fits the same thing as what you saw in Hitler's Germany. And he's basically using the same tactics that Hitler used to take over Germany. It's being applied here in the United States.
That's an interesting point. Thank you very much for the call, Paul.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We have just got a ton of things to move on with here on Agenda 21 Radio. So visit our website, a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. NCS 51, that's the other website that's coming up on board right now. We're working on it. Anyway, a lot of things happening here. You can email me, paul at a21r.com, to get in touch with me. And we're going to try and see if we get our phone system back and up and running and all that good stuff, you know. There's a new movement out there in the statehood thing, and there is a movement trying to, I guess you would say, use the counties, and we talked about this yesterday, that says rural counties have become increasingly outraged by laws coming out of the Oregon legislature that threaten our livelihoods, our industries, our wallet, our gun rights, and our values. We tried voting those legislators out, but rural Oregon is outnumbered, and our voices are now ignored. This is our last resort. That's clearly talking about what? Well, guess what? That is talking about Reynolds versus Sims. You see, if you're in the rural areas of the United States, you don't have representation. No, your stuff does not count. The Supreme Court took that away from you in 1964. That's what we're doing in New California, is solving that problem, actually. We're challenging Reynolds versus Sims, and, of course, we will succeed. That's just sort of a natural given, right? Anyway, just sort of a natural given. This is just part and parcel of this whole movement that's starting to sweep the United States. I think it's New California has been a big part of that, and of course, in New California, we have absolutely knocked it out of the park in terms of the process to move forward with the new state. And this particular movement is going to require a lot of cooperation between states. I don't think it's going to be successful. I think it's well motivated. Let me tell you that. Absolutely, this is a well motivated movement. And I understand the motivation, but the process to get there is not going to solve the problems. That's my opinion. And I'd say you're better off following the model of New California in order to make that happen, which I'm sure that it absolutely will happen. You just have to basically make it all happen. And of course, that's up to people in these affected areas. So what we have here is Oregon conservatives. Very, very frustrated, tried everything from voting out Democrats, and of course they can't do it. But what they're going to try and do is they're going to try moving the border with neighboring Idaho westward to, in a published report Monday, it says the group Move Oregon's Border to Greater Idaho has secured initial approval from two counties and has set a goal of getting enough signatures to put the proposal on local ballots in November, the USA Today was told. Barring a setback, voters in southeastern Oregon could see a question on a redrawn state border with Idaho, the newspaper reported. It says last year a controversial bill protesting greenhouse gas emissions caused state Republicans to flee Salem, the state capital. Democrats currently control both branches of the state legislature as well as the governor's mansion. Shocking. Shocking. Kate Braun is her name. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Brown is the English pronunciation, but Braun is German, of course. Says Hallery Gottschalk, another petitioner, said she hopes the proposal will gain traction similar to how the petition to recall Kate Braun did last summer. Well, how's that working out for everybody? Right? Proponents were unsuccessful in collecting the 280,000 signatures for the recall election, but Greater Idaho said it only needs to collect about 2,000 signatures from Josephine County and about 3,000 from Douglas County to appear on the ballot, USA Today was reported. People here would prefer Idaho's conservative governance to the progressive, liberal, current Oregon governance. Every time I look at the Facebook group Greater Idaho, the group has gotten bigger, Gottschalk said. Oh. Let's check it out. Greater Idaho, the Facebook group Greater Idaho. How's that? The Greater Idaho. I'm going to check it out right now. Absolutely. You know why? I'm going to check it out because I can right now. Greater Idaho. I'm in Facebook. We're going to go there. We're going to see how really effectively dangerous this group really is, right? Let's see. Greater Idaho, it's called? Oh, I guess not. Greater. It doesn't seem to have a Idaho. Okay, here it is. Greater Idaho, Move Oregon's Borders. There's Greater Idaho. Is this the same thing? Okay, no, I guess not. So you've got several groups now. Greater Idaho, Move Oregon's Borders. That's what we have here. It says here, don't forget us in Washington. See, this is the part of the problem that you get, is I don't understand why you're going to make one state bigger. Now, this particular one, is this a clip, a video clip? Here's one. It says, this is from Libby Martucci Rogers. And she's talking now from, the map of Greater Idaho. It goes across Idaho, parts of Oregon, and parts of Northern California, by the way. It takes up a substantial part of Modoc, Lassen, maybe Sutter County, where I live. It says, says here, don't. This is the clip that's from this Libby Martucci 3 hours ago. Don't forget us in Western Washington. We think Seattle, Olympia, and even Portland can join up and leave the rest of us alone. That's a good statement, actually. So she's got a little map here that she's trying to put in Western Washington, too. So, you know, that would be interesting. They have Seattle, Portland, and Wairika. Mike Skidmore says, I've heard this sad truth in many states. One small area controls the whole state. They fire up the sheep and get them to the polls en masse. Working class taxpayers are left on their own to vote. Get out and vote. Get your neighbors out. Keep them enthusiastic and energized. The Lib Dems, okay, that's not happening in California because the fix is completely in, as you know. Sorry, buddy. Yeah, that one just, that dog just does not hunt, right? Anyway, I would be so happy to see this change. This is some of the Facebook stuff here. It says, it isn't just California. I grew up there and hated it. I moved here to get away from the garbage, and almost 30 years later, it is here. It is here. See, that's what I'm saying. Stand your ground. You know, we in New California get this. It says, make the change, but be aware of the infection spreading. Lib Dems have to move into areas that they don't control so that they can save them from themselves. I lived in K, California, for nearly 50 years. Once a good place, but now it is a cesspool. Well, that's why New California is here, right? Not to, you know, put a little water on your fire, but I don't think this one's going to work. Too many players involved to say no. Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. My Pillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is, we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that possibly
pops on.
If it, your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's a Romp Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, a Romp Solar.
Ben.
He's undoing the U.S. one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Speaking of an accomplishment for New California, which is enormous. There's now 56 counties involved with New California, whole or part, and you know that would include the rural counties that we're talking about too. We have some urbanized counties that are there's rural area, and we've taken it in. That's that it includes those counties. So 56 of 58 counties in California, 56 of them, in some way, shape, or form, are part of New California. And I have to say that last night we had, since we've gotten all the county chairs and senators all together. And we still have some tweaking of the system to go. We had 55 of our 56 county chairs were present on the phone call and 79 total callers. That's the first time in New California history that's ever happened. That is just absolutely testament to the desire for people to form New California. Just shocking, actually shocking numbers. Anyway, just to kind of shine that one at everybody, we're growing, we're moving. Okay, so we're checking out this whole thing about the ballot initiative, effort to move eastern counties to Oregon, and why people are thinking this is a good idea and why people are thinking this might happen. Okay, the Daily Caller first report says Oregon moves border to Greater Idaho. You can watch Fox News about this in a video on this article and in Fox News interview with Chief Petitioner Mike McCarter, okay? If you want this on your ballot, there are two ways to go on the ballot, okay? Anyway, this goes back to West Virginia, and I'll explain it here in a second. It says this is from the Daily Caller. They got this clip. I'm going to play it so you get the drift, if you know what I mean. Well, come on. I'm sorry. I'm speaking to my computer. I'm having a little conversation with my computer. Here we go. I think we got this one straightened out. Here we go. I think, anyway.
Have you considered how you would like to be?
Well, we got the commercial. We got to do burial discussions. You know, in this crypt, that crypt. Ah, maybe I'll like this one. Yeah. You know, how are you going to rest for the rest of your eternity, right? mortuary madness, I'd call this. It's a commercial. I'm serious. So, you know, we're going to talk about mortuary management. Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything with mortuary management, burial planning? Here we go. Fox News with this article.
I do. I guess I shouldn't admit that. It's not that many.
It's okay. All right. Well, some frustrated Oregon conservatives who find their state too liberal are now looking to leave it. Without actually moving, the group called Move Oregon's Border for a Greater Idaho wants to radically shrink Oregon by pushing its border with Idaho to the west. So how do they plan to pull all this off? William Lajeunesse is in our West Coast Bureau. We're intrigued. Explain, William.
Well, Sandra and Ed, they live in the same state but different worlds, with conservatives in rural Oregon wanting a divorce from the liberals in Portland. The goal is to make much of Oregon part of Idaho. And while you're saying it will never happen, first let me tell you why it could, but why it likely won't. Rather than try a statewide initiative, which would lose, those behind this effort are going county by county, asking locally elected officials for permission to put the question on the ballot. So far, two counties have approved, Douglas and Josephine, so now supporters need to gather the signatures, and in some counties, it's as few as a few hundred, up to a few thousand. So that is the easy part. Assuming they win locally, the group still needs the approval of a majority of lawmakers in Idaho and Oregon, and the U.S. Congress. Supporters say this is not about politics, conservative versus liberal, but lifestyle and values, and they see the culture in Idaho more closely aligned with theirs. Quoting, Rural counties have become increasingly outraged by laws coming out of the Oregon legislature and threaten our livelihoods, our industries, our wallet, our gun rights, and our values. We tried voting those legislators out of rural Oregon. However, rural Oregon is outnumbered and our voice is now ignored. This is our last resort. So this urban-rural divide, you guys, it does exists in many areas. 37 out of 50 states have one party controlling both the governorship and the state house. So this tension exists elsewhere, but some states worse than others. Sandra and Ed.
Interesting. Okay. William Lajeunesse, thank you.
Okay. So, you know, 37 states have the same governor and state and the same from the same party as the legislature, such as the monoparty system that you have in Washington, the monoparty system that you have in Oregon and California. I mean, we can go ticking it down, right? New York. I mean, look at Illinois. There is an answer. Now, let's break this down so that we understand what we're getting here. And I think the genesis of this, this particular movement, the county movement, came from West Virginia. And in the court decision of 1870, isn't it interesting that we're talking about, you know, 1870 and states' rights and all this? It's a wonderful time because, you know, really, this is the we're right in the middle of it. Of course, the epicenter is New California. I know that there's another bunch of other movements. Let's say this about those movements. First of all, they're movements. I don't care if you're talking about this one, or any other ones that are out there. They're movements because the people are unhappy, and these are legitimate movements. Now, The big question, and again, I sat down and had a very interesting conversation years ago with a very respectable state senator. And I went to him and I said, you know, talk to me about statehood. What is your perception? And he was absolutely spot on. He knew, and he still knows to this day. But he said to me, he said, Paul, he said, what is demonstrated by nobody yet is a real clear pathway to statehood, to forming a new state. There's no group, there's no organization that is actually moving in that direction. And this, he was saying this amidst some, you know, good, at the time were thought to be good movements to move ahead for statehood. But the reality check was they weren't when you started breaking it out. And look, taking his perspective. And when I said, okay, what is a pathway? There's got to be a yellow brick road to statehood. Think of it that way. That's exactly where's the yellow brick road in this? And it's very simple. It's Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, which is impacting this. Now, they're doing some things here that are a little bit different than Article 4, a straight Article 4, Section 3 split. And it's just a little different. It's caused by the lawsuit, I believe, and as I understand it, because I can't remember the guy's name, Hollis or Howell, I think his name was, in West Virginia, the state assembly member there, who are there trying to, of course, take over counties that are sanctuary Second Amendment counties in Virginia because of Virginia, with Mike Bloomberg's influence, bought all these different politicians to go in to start taking away gun rights, right? And so that's created this big, huge brouhaha about gun rights in West Virginia counties, in our Virginia counties. The Virginia counties are going, we're not going to follow this. And many of the sheriffs, we had this one sheriff on yesterday, portly guy, who talked about that specifically, and that that was not something that was in the cards for them. He wasn't going to enforce any state laws. And so the county itself declared itself a sanctuary Second Amendment county, so the sheriff doesn't do that. So this is a different thing because what happened, as I understand it, and we're going to run out of time here before you get the explanation going for you, but we'll set the stage. As I understand it, when Virginia broke away and became its own state in 1861, 1863, it became its own state, and Virginia, of course, at that point in time, had fallen off to the Confederacy. They had brought in a restored government of Virginia, That was the Francis Pierpont government, basically. And when they did that, of course, they set the stage for what was going to happen after the war, the Civil War. And after the Civil War, Virginia came back to the courts and said, hey, we want our counties back. We're not going to give it away just because we split. And so they went to the Supreme Court, and when we come back, we'll talk about that. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
Broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. It's Agenda 21 with Paul Preston.
Okay, so we're discussing what is this movement in Oregon all about, or Idaho, trying to take over counties and so on. As I understand it, and Hollow, I think his name was, or Howell, assembly member from West Virginia, I talked to him for quite some time last week. Yeah, a week and a half ago, maybe. And now this is all kind of brewing up in the situation where Oregon wants to be taken, have some of its counties taken over by Idaho, and just basically get away from a bunch of things. So this is the genesis, as I understand it. And the stage was set when Virginia seceded from the Union and left West Virginia behind, who was trying at the very same time to become a state and follow the Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, which says that if you want to become a state and from a pre-existing state, then you have to get the permission from the state or the states concerned, and then that of the Congress. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. It's a big hurdle. So they did that, but in the meantime, just before they actually got to work with the West Virginians, before they got to work with the Virginians left the Union and went with the Confederacy. And so there's the state formation committees going on in Wheeling, West Virginia, and they're left high and dry because they cannot take their petition to become a new state to the Assembly or to the Senate of Virginia. So they're left high and dry, and they said, what do we do? So they go to Congress, and Congress says, you've got to satisfy Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution. So they, okay, how do we do that? And they were left there standing, and Francis Pierpont, an attorney at the time, stood up and said, I'll be the governor of the restored government of Virginia. I mean, it's a crisis. Virginia's left us. I'll stand instead as the governor for the restored government. Would you all follow me? And basically, they formed a government right there. They appealed to the Congress. Congress said no. They went and appealed to Abraham Lincoln for help. And Lincoln helped them. And Congress agreed. And, of course, that left the door wide open for West Virginia to appeal to the restored government of Virginia, which they did. And what happened was Virginia, or West Virginia, was formed 2 years later, 1863. The war goes on. And when the war ends, Virginia wants some of the counties back. So, I mean, 1880, Virginia is now back in the Union, and they're suing West Virginia for the counties. And so Virginia versus West Virginia, this is the case, 78 U.S., 1870-1871. It's a 6-3 ruling by the Supreme Court of the United States, which held that a governor has discretion in the conduct of the election. The legislature is bound by his action and cannot undo the results based on fraud. Okay. It says the court implicitly affirmed that the breakaway Virginia counties had received the necessary consent of both the state of Virginia and the United States Congress to become a separate state, and explicitly held that the counties of Berkeley and Jefferson were part of the state of West Virginia. Okay, a lot to do there, right? It says, at the beginning of the American Civil War, Virginia seceded from the United States in 1861 over slavery, but many of the northwestern counties of Virginia were decidedly pro-Union. At a convention called by the governor and authorized by the legislature, delegates voted on April 17th to approve Virginia's secession from the United States. Although the resolution required approval from the voters, at an election scheduled for May 23rd, Virginia's governor entered into a treaty of alliance with the Confederate states on April 24th. Elected delegates to the Confederate Congress on April 29th and formally entered the Confederacy on May 7th. See a little bit of twist here. For President Lincoln, these actions proved that rebels had taken over the state and turned the machinery of the state towards insurrection. Are we digging this? These individuals had not acted with popular support, and thus Lincoln felt justified later in recognizing the reorganized government. That's Pierpont. Get it? I'm going to read that again. Although the resolution, this is the resolution that was at a convention called by the governor and authorized by the legislature, delegates voted on April 17th to approve Virginia's secession from the United States. Although the resolution required approval from voters at an election scheduled for May 23rd, the Virginia's governors entered into a treaty of alliance with the Confederate states on April 24th, elected delegates to the Confederate Congress on the 29th, and formally entered the Confederacy on May 7th for President Lincoln. These actions proved that rebels had taken over the state and turned the machinery of the state towards insurrection. These individuals had not acted with popular support, and thus Lincoln felt justified later in recognizing the reorganized government. That's the Pierpont government that I'm talking about, the reorganized government, usually referred to as restored government, and that's what this is. Unionist sentiment was so high in the northeastern counties that civil government began to disintegrate, and the Wheeling Interagency newspaper called for a convention of delegates to meet at the city of Wheeling to consider secession from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Delegates duly assembled. This is at the first Wheeling Convention, also known as the May Convention, held May 13th and 15th. The delegates voted to hold off secession from Virginia until Virginia formally seceded from the United States, concerned that the irregular nature of the first Wheeling Convention might not democratically represent the will of the people, elections were scheduled for June 4th to formally elect delegates to a second convention. If held under military pressure, some counties sent no delegates. Some delegates never appeared, and voter turnout varied significantly. On June 19th, the Second Wheeling Convention declared the offices of all government officials who had voted for a secession vacant and reconstituted in the executive and legislative branches of the Virginia government for their own ranks. The Second Wheeling Convention adjourned on the 25th with the intent of reconvening on August 6th. Listen to this. The new reorganized governor, Francis Harrison Pierrepont, asked President Lincoln for military assistance, and Lincoln recognized the new government. The region elected new senators, and its two existing representatives took their old seats in the House, effectively giving congressional recognition to the reorganized government as well. After reconvening on August 6th, the Second Wheeling Convention again debated secession from Virginia, and the delegates adopted a resolution authorizing the secession of 39 counties, with the counties of Berkeley, Greenbrier, Hampshire, Hardy, Jefferson, Morgan, and Pocahontas to be added to their voters approved, if their voters approved, and authorizing any contiguous counties with these to join the new state if they so voted as well. On October 24th, 1861, voters in the 39 counties plus voters in Hampshire and Hardy counties voted to secede from the Commonwealth of Virginia. In 11 counties, voter participation was less than 20%, with counties like Raleigh and Braxton showing only 5 and 2% turnout. The ballot also allowed voters to choose delegates to a constitutional convention, which met November 26, 1861, to February 18, 1862. The convention chose the name West Virginia, but then engaged in a lengthy, acrimonious debate over whether to extend the state's boundary to other counties which had not voted to secede. Added to the new state were McDowell, Mercer, and Monroe counties. Berkeley, Frederick, Hampshire, Hardy, Jefferson, Morgan, and Pendleton counties were again offered the chance to join, but all but Frederick County did. Eight counties, Greenbrier, Logan, McDowell, Mercer, Monroe, Pocahontas, Webster, and Wyoming, never participated in the polls. A new constitution for West Virginia was adopted in February 18th, 1861, which was approved by voters on April 4th. Governor Pierrepont recalled the reorganized state legislature, which voted May 13th to approve the secession and to add Berkeley and Frederick counties. So Pierrepont, acting as governor of the restored, or what they call the, some places say it's restored, some places say it's reorganized, government of Virginia, he did this. He put these counties in there. And this is the essence of the lawsuit. It says, luckily, the West Virginia Constitutional Convention had not adjourned sendai, but rather subject to recall. There's that word sendai before. You heard them talking about this on the, just recently in the impeachment. It says Latin without day, from the Latin without day, means without assigning a day for a further meeting or hearing. That's what that means. That's what happens, of course, with the impeachment. Sendai. You heard that word being used. Or those words. Latin. En français. No, Latin. Not en français. It says, luckily, the West Virginia Constitutional Convention had not adjourned, but rather subject to recall. Every county except Webster and Monroe sent representatives to the session that convened on the 12th with Abraham D. Soper as its president. After a spirited debate concerning compensation for slave owners whose slaves were free, this is interesting, the matter ultimately being tabled, the convention amended the state's constitution, February 6th, to include the congressionally required slave freedom provisions. But Berkeley and Frederick and Jefferson counties never held votes on secession. This is The Rub. We'll be right back.
protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar. Okay, so we're breaking it out here for the controversy that's going on with Oregon now wanting to, not Oregon, well, parts of Oregon, the counties, trying to get a quick and deadly fix, I guess. Quick and easy fix, not deadly. Trying to form up with Idaho. Right. And the thing is that this Francis Pierpont, well, he was a skullduggery guy. he was the restored governor, or they call him the reorganized legislature, reorganized government of Virginia, following the secession of Virginia into the Confederacy of 1861, and of course leaving the western counties of Virginia, West Virginia area, that were wanting to create a state high and dry. Well, they reorganized a government with the actual approval of, and nod, wink, wink of the Congress into a restored, reorganized government. And when this government reorganized and was restored, Pierpont took over and started to basically do it his way, which, you know, he was governor of restored government of Virginia, and he could do it. And that's the way the courts actually saw it, because what happened was in 18... 70, West Virginia sued, Virginia sued West Virginia to try and get those counties back that Pierrepont had appointed, actually, and brought in, sort of usurped away from Virginia. So that was an interesting little situation. Now what you have is you have the governor of Idaho saying, hey, you know, I think we want to take over those counties with their permission of Idaho. Oregon, parts of Northern California, and say, look, we're just going to grow a bigger Idaho. Now, look, that's kind of what they're doing. They're playing off of what happened with Francis Pierrepont. Now, it's kind of interesting. It says Justice Miller first disposed, that says majority holding. Associate Justice Samuel Freeman Miller wrote, the decision for the majority, joined by Chief Justice Salmon Chase and Associate Justice Samuel Nelson, Noah Haynes, Swain, and William Strong. It says Justice Miller first disposed of the demur. He concluded that the demur could not be granted without reversing the settled course of the decision in this court and overturning the principles on which several well-considered cases had been decided. He noted that the court had asserted its jurisdiction in several cases before, including the state of Rhode Island and Providence Plantation versus the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, state of Missouri versus state of Idaho, or Iowa, Florida versus Georgia, state of Alabama and state versus state of Georgia. Justice Miller then posed three questions for the court to answer. Did the state of Virginia ever give a consent to its proposition to become obligatory on her? Did the Congress give such consent as rendered the agreement valid? And if both of these are answered affirmatively, it may be necessary to inquire whether the circumstances alleged in this bill authorize Virginia to withdraw her consent and justify in settling aside the contract and restoring two counties to that state. Justice Miller then reviewed the various actions taken to reorganize the government of Virginia in 1861 and the various acts by the reorganized government of the United States took to create the state of West Virginia and extend its jurisdiction over the counties in question. In answering the first question, Miller wrote, and this is significant, Miller wrote, now we have here, on two different occasions, the emphatic legislative proposition of Virginia that these counties might become part of West Virginia, and we have the Constitution of West Virginia agreeing to accept them and providing for their place in the newborn state. There was no question in the mind of the majority that Virginia had given its consent. And we're talking about restored Virginia here. That's the key thing. See, this court case was challenging the authority of restored Virginia or reorganized Virginia. And the fact of the matter is, they're saying, yes, it does support it. Pierrepont was correct. They were correct in justifying the restored, reorganized government of Virginia. Now, this is important for New California because we have already passed a resolution granting authority in case there is a insurrection act declared by the president, that we will, in fact, create a restored government of California. That's what we've already done and sent that along to the president. Although the elections had been postponed due to a hostile environment, the majority concluded that the reorganized government of Virginia had acted in good faith to carry out its electoral duties in the two counties. In regard to the second question, Miller pondered the nature of the congressional consent, and Congress could not be expected to explicitly give its consent to every single aspect of the proposed state constitution, Miller argued. And clearly Congress had intensively considered the proposed state constitution, which contained provisions for accession of the two counties in question, because Congress seriously considered the slavery question regarding the admission of the new state and required changes in the proposed constitution before statehood could be granted. The debate could only lead the court to a single conclusion, Miller stated. It is therefore an inference clear and satisfactory that Congress, by statute, intended the consent of the admission, and so on. So this is... this is very, very clear that the Pierrepont government was acting in good faith all the way along, It says, and it says here, that alone laid to rest Virginia's allegations. She must be bound by what she had done. She can give no right years after. See, this is the fact about what Virginia had done. They pulled away and became part of the Confederacy, and then left people to act on their own, which they did, and they formed, you know, of course, the new government. So what this does do, though, is allow the governor, they say, to ask other counties of other states. This is a kind of a stretch, I think. But here's the bottom line. If a governor, like in the governor's of Idaho, wants to do this, by the way, wants to take over counties of another state, they're going to have to still go through Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution. That's real simple. You can pass resolutions, you can have petitions, you can do whatever you want to do. But the bottom line is you're still going to have to get the consent of the legislature of the states concerned. And this is plural now because you're talking about Idaho wanting to take counties from California and counties from Oregon. Now you've got the California. Imagine, you're going to have to deal with the California state legislature in the separation of these counties, which would include like Modoc, Lassen, Palumas, Shasta, Siskiyou. That's kind of what it's looking like. And then you got Josephine County and Douglas and so on in the Oregon side. So you've got the Oregon legislature to consider, and you also have the California legislature to consider, and then the Idaho legislature has to agree. And then the Congress has to agree. Do you see what this is? It's a wild goose chase. Now, in the case, and look at how many legislators they have. I don't know how many they have. I think they must have over 100 in each. Let's say that I'm going to throw that. I don't know, and I could be wrong. You can email me, paul@a21r.com, and tell me. I should look it up, but I'm not doing that right now for time. Well, let's just say for the sake of discussion that in the case of Oregon, you have 100 legislators. We're talking about assembly members and senators, and you have the same in Idaho. Okay, in California, you have 120. So you've got to convince that number, basically, to say this is okay. Well, that's not going to work. You know that. Everybody knows that. The bottom line to all this is that in the case of New California, the numbers for us to convince is 120, 80 assembly members and 40 senators. That's our number to convince. You know, where that part where it says Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution states you have to get the permission of the state's legislatures concerned. And we only have one state to be dealing with. That's 120 legislators. But you take a look at what these guys have. They've got about 320, maybe 350 legislators to convince. How's that working out for them? You see what I mean? Then you got to go on to the Congress. And what a cluster that would be. That's why it's not doable. What is doable is what we're doing, taking it state by state. That's a very real doable thing. You could have a new Oregon. You can have a new Washington State. They can form like we're doing with New California and what's happening in New Illinois. These are happening. These things are actually happening. It's a lot more efficient, and it's still going to get what we need it to get. You know, it's still going to get what we need it to get, which is going to be in our case, and we're going to follow certainly what happened in Virginia. We're going to be making our constitution. The big stuff is really coming next. This the stuff that we've had for the organizational end of it for the last 6 constitutional conventions is going to draw to a close, and we're going to get into a bigger, badder, I mean, well, bigger, bolder, I guess you could say, constitutional conventions and so on and meetings. This is going to be something that's going to take some time. We get that when we go to convene. And we're going to have to get opinions of counties and so on. We're going to do all that. It's going to be done. And right now we've got the ground game going on. We've got the ground game going on. And the ground game, of course, is meaning that we have 56 counties now, whole or part of New California. Incredible. It's incredible. And we've got chairs and senators in each one. This is happening. It's coming alive, New California. It's already alive, the people and so on. Okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to come back and we got Agnes Gibney. We're going to be hearing from her and the angel mom that she is, taking on the mayor of Los Angeles. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. Visit our website at a21r.com and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, NCS51. And stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.